Today's podcast is brought to you by Balance 7. Save $10 plus free shipping this week only with code HOWIE10 at balance7.com. Enjoy the podcast.
She's the Boston Herald's wittiest wordsmith, the last woman standing at the Whiskey Priest. Once a very legitimate magazine that we definitely didn't make up, named her the Michael Jordan of radio. Wait, don't you think we're laying it on a little thick here, Grace?
Just stick to the script.
Oh, okay. Live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, it's The Grace Curley Show.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to The Grace Curley Show. It is Wednesday. Horrible storm last night. Hope everyone's hanging in there. I know a lot of people in Massachusetts are without power, so stay safe. Merrick Garland, the attorney general, is testifying in front of a whole lot of senators right now, and he's not doing a good job. He's appearing to be a bit weak and a bit disorganized, doesn't seem to have much information. We're going to have a lot of sound cuts of that in just a moment. But what I wanted to talk about right now is actually something different. There was a cut that I saw this morning of a Minnesota school board. And we have, this plays into what Merrick Garland is discussing here with these senators, which is, what are parents allowed to say at these meetings? And are we going to stifle speech if we disagree with it, or if it gets heated, if it intimidates us? And according to these school board members, that is what they want. They think parents are speaking up too much or too loudly or too rudely or whatever it might be. Now, when I saw this, I was kind of shocked, because there's individual school officials are forcing public commenters to reveal their home address before allowing them to speak at a school board meeting. You have to hear this sound. It's absolutely infuriating. Can we play this, Jared? This is Jody Sapp, cut 15.
Effective tonight, the school board will enforce the following guidelines. Open forum participants are prohibited from calling out or addressing any individual school board or school district staff member. If this occurs, open forum will be closed and the individual will not be allowed to participate in future open forums. Crowd noise or any sort of grandstanding during open forum, including applause, talking, hollering, or any outburst, will result in open forum being closed. Further, beginning at the November 1st school board meeting, open forum participation will be limited to those individuals who wish to speak to an item on the board agenda. The board agenda is always made available the Thursday prior to our meetings, and they are always on the district website.
First of all, who died and made these people kings? Really? I know you boss kids around all day, but you don't get to boss the parents around too. I would have pulled a Ronald Reagan on that and said, I pay for this microphone, Mr. Green, or Miss whatever your name is, Jody Sapp, telling me what I can and cannot say and how long I can talk for and whether or not I can clap. It's pathetic. It's absolutely pathetic.
Please clap.
Let's also play cut 16.
I just want to remind everyone, this is a business meeting of the school board. It is not a meeting that belongs to the public. Each speaker is asked to state his or her name and address for the record. Failure to do so will result in an individual not being allowed to speak. John, can you give us your name and address, please?
My name is John Wicklin. I live in Mankato.
Could I get your address, please, John?
I'd rather not, since you guys
don't
have
give
it
your
already.
Address, you can't speak.
And I get so much property damage and eggs and everything else from fun people and their friends.
John,
to be on
you
the
need
board.
To give your address.
All right, I live on Fifth Street.
Excuse me?
I live on Fifth Street.
House number?
Wow, are you kidding me? What is she trying to dox this guy? Because he wants to talk about a school board meeting?
Yes. They want to dox parents. They want parents to be considered terrorists. This Jody Sapp in Mankato, Minnesota, or whatever, is trying to get parents attacked.
This is so unreal that this is the society we're living in. It really does feel like 1984. Your address, please. House number, please. Ugh. If only these people cared as much about, I don't know, opening schools, teaching kids, as they do about being complete pains in the asses to everybody else, we'd have the most educated, bright kids in the world. Clearly, that's not happening. They're too focused on getting this guy's address so they can put it out online and he can get some more eggs thrown at his front door. How despicable are these people?
This is not teachers. This is teachers' unions and school boards. This is the bureaucrats, the pencil pushers of the profession. Again, the best and the brightest who have no real stake in this, handing down diktats to parents who pay the salary, who pay for the services, who keep the lights on in these places that they seem to have taken over like robber barons.
You got to get your kids out of public school. I mean, that goes without saying at this point.
I don't even have kids and I'm furious.
This is insane. It's the chilling of speech that drives me so crazy. Now, I did want to cover a few things here in this opening segment because there's something else that we should talk about. There is an interesting story that I saw today in the Federalist, and it's about Senator Josh Hawley, because what he did recently was he was pressing a Pentagon official on why the Biden administration prioritized packing planes over vetting Afghan evacuees. Now, this entire situation with Afghanistan seems to have gone away in the news. You know, the news is too focused on Joe Biden's love for chocolate chip ice cream and Dave Chappelle's comedy special and Barack Obama saving the day and what else? Donald Trump ruining the sand dunes at one of his golf resorts. That's the kind of important stuff. Oh, and of course, climate change that the media is covering. But Josh Hawley isn't letting this one go. And Jared just made this point a few minutes ago about seeing these the best and the brightest up behind the microphone having to answer questions really does show you how ill-equipped these people are. And they're not used to answering questions. They're used to giving out orders. They're used to getting accolades. They're used to going to cocktail parties and rubbing elbows with the beautiful people. But they're not used to having to answer questions. They're not used to criticism. And so this person, his name is Secretary for Defense Policy Colin Kahl, is being asked about why the Biden administration was telling the Department of Defense to get out as many people as they could, and they were focusing more on that than they were on actually vetting some of these Afghans. Now, let's first play cut 21, please, Jared.
Was there ever any in-person vetting done?
Well, office was in person in the lily pad.
Well, those aren't interviews. That's a scan. That's just fingerprinting. So were there ever any in-person? That's a screening. Was there actually any vetting done where you sit down and you ask the person questions?
So it's a good question. For those where there was any, either there wasn't sufficient information or there was derogatory information. Now keep in mind, the derogatory information could be that you shared the same name with somebody or that your phone number touched a phone number of a phone number. For people where there was any derogatory information, then yes, follow-up interviews and additional vetting was done.
At the lily pads?
Yes.
And in the United States too, or just at the lily pads?
There may have been instances in which people came to the United States who also received additional vetting, but I would direct you to the DHS to get the full accounting.
Now, pause it here. So he says, there may have been times where there was additional vetting, but I would direct you to the DHS. And this is where Josh Hawley, who I know, I'm a Josh Hawley fan at this point. This is where he gets him. This is where he catches him in a lie.
Talking to DHS, believe me, and what's interesting is what DHS says is there was never any in-person vetting done anywhere. Not at the lily pads, not in the United States. Your testimony here today under oath is there was in-person vetting done, that you sat down and did interviews with them. Is that right? I just want to be clear on this.
So my understanding is that at the lily pads, so forward,
right,
Qatar, Bahrain, Kuwait, et cetera, those who pop derogatory information, if they couldn't be cleared.
Now, stop it there. I love it. You have to be very in tune with these sound cuts and be listening to them over and over again to pick up on these themes. Something I pick up on is he gets caught in a lie under oath. And when Josh Hawley gives him the opportunity and says, hey, I just want to be clear, which I love, because he's basically saying to him, if you're lying, now's the time. And then suddenly, all these facts he's spewing out. And you notice how he keeps giving out all of this context that no one really cares about. That's just a way to distract. That's a Jen Psaki technique. Talk about something else for 5 minutes. But you notice when he gets confronted with the lie, and Josh Hawley says, I just want to be clear here, and, you know, gives him the opportunity to change it, he becomes a little bit more docile, and he changes it, and his first words are, my understanding is. It takes me back to the Billy Bulger days. He's very close to saying, my recollection. In other words, he's trying to back off of this. Because if the DHS is saying none of this has happened and he's under oath saying, oh, there was vetting here, there was vetting there, there was vetting everywhere. And the DHS, Josh Hawley already checked with the DHS. This is like a moment in a courtroom where it's like, hold on a second. We caught you. Something's not adding up here. And then suddenly he switches to, oh, my understanding. Oh, your understanding. Huh. All right. Now, I love this next part because Josh Hawley just asked the question we're all asking. In regards to this massive amount of numbers of people that have now entered the United States, who are they? Cut 22.
You testified in September that those evacuated are about 6,000 American citizens. You testified in September that the SIVs were about 1,200 or 1,300. That leaves 116,700 people based on the 124,000 NEO number that you've been offering. 116,700 people who were not citizens, who were not SIVs, and we just don't know much about who were those people.
Yeah. So just so we all are working off the same set of numbers.
You can hear the squirminess, you know? Just so we're all working off the same set of numbers. Just answer the question, dude. Enough with the niceties and the platitudes. And then so he gives this long-winded answer. It's so long. It goes on and on and on about and this and this and this. And all these words that, like, if you're not familiar with the vetting process, you probably don't even know what he's talking about. But then the key of it comes at the end, cut 23.
And we facilitated 44,874 people coming out on non-U.S. aircraft by other folks. So it's a mixed mash of a lot of different categories. About 84% of the people we brought out were Afghans at risk of various kinds, SIVs, P1s, P2s, or others.
Mixed match about folks, pretty vague for someone who's in charge of the defense of the United States of America, or at least our policies regarding it. Yikes. Very good by Josh Hawley. We'll have more of the Merrick Garland sound, and we'll take your calls regarding schools. I know a lot of people are on the lines to talk about that. The Aviva Trattoria Tour of Italy is back. Two new dates have just been added, one in Maynard on Tuesday, November 9th, and one on Tuesday, November 16th in Malden. I went to the one in Malden. Howie went to the one in Maynard. I've been to both of these restaurants. They're absolutely beautiful. But specifically, the Aviva Trattoria wine dinner is unbelievable. I talk about this with everyone. I went with my sister. We had the best night, especially because COVID has really made it, I don't know, it can kind of make going out to eat feel like a pain. This was the exact opposite. This reminded me of the before times where everyone's just having fun. You're eating delicious food. You're talking. There's music. Chef Anthony comes out. He breaks down every single meal. Every meal is paired with a delicious wine. And they explain to you kind of the taste and why they chose that wine. And then, of course, the roasted pig at the end. Very festive. And if that's not enough, a delicious slice of their tiramisu. It's a fabulous night. It's really festive and fun, and it's great for family, for friends, for a date night, whatever it may be. I highly suggest you check this out, and I suggest you check it out sooner rather than later because these sell out pretty quickly. So you want to go to avivatrattoria.com to find the tickets. Go to avivatrattoria.com, and there's free parking at both locations. So grab your tickets today at avivatrattoria.com. We'll be back with your calls, 844-500-4242, and an update on the Border Patrol investigation regarding the Haitians and the whipping of the Haitians that never was. We'll be right back.
You're listening to The Grace Curley Show. This is The Grace Curley Show.
I haven't seen Dr. Fauci. in the last couple days.
Have you looked down?
I'm going to look here and see if he's had any interviews lately. I'm getting worried about him. Dr. Fauci, where are you? We have so many questions, most of them regarding beagles. He only likes to do interviews when it's about his upcoming movie or his basketball days or how he likes to throw out the first pitch at baseball games. And yet, when it comes to the beagles, silence. I haven't heard Dr. Fauci this silent in decades. Where is the highest paid federal employee in the United States of America? We need to know. I'm sure someone at Morning Joe or Nicole Wallace's show or Wolf Blitzer's show or Jake Tapper's show. I'm sure somebody has his number.
Rachel Maddow's got to know where he is.
Oh, yeah, he loves Rachel. Rachel, tell us where he is. We want him to come on and explain himself, please.
He carries him around in a backpack like Yoda.
Yes. All right. Let's get to the poll question here, Jared. The poll question today is brought to you by OrthoFeet. I'm very excited about this. It's a great product. OrthoFeet's unique premium orthotic insoles give your feet the comfort they deserve. So treat your feet to a pair of OrthoFeet shoes. Go to orthofeet.com. That's orthofeet.com. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Well, the next TV interviewer asked Fauci about the beagles.
I'm going to say no. And you know what? Dr. Fauci is very careful about whose shows he goes on, depending on the temperature in the room. Like after the backlash he got for his Christmas thing, he went on someone who was really soft on him. I can't remember who it was. So he's not going to do like a Jake Tapper after this. He's going to really let the waters cool off before he jumps back into that. So yeah, I think he'll find someone who really loves him and maybe someone from NPR perhaps, and he'll get a guarantee that there'll be no beagles mentioned in the filming of this movie. I mean, interview.
93% say no. He will not be asked about the beagles.
Has Disney Plus commented on this yet? They've got this big documentary out with Dr. Fauci. Surely they should weigh in on Beaglegate. Hashtag Dr. Fauci lied, beagles died. Everyone gave me a lot of grief for talking about it the first day, but I haven't seen a lot of other people talking about it. So while I'm sorry if you had to shut your radio off, at least I covered it.
Goofy, Pluto, let us know.
It's a really sad story, and I hope people keep this anger, you know, hold on to this anger. Don't harness it. Don't let it out of your sight. Something I wanted to talk about here really quickly was we have a couple more cuts of Merrick Garland being questioned. This is Senator Grassley, cut 33.
The press release accompanying your memo mentions that the National Security Division will get involved in school board investigations. Is the Justice Department National Security Division really necessary for keeping local school boards safe if parents aren't domestic terrorists? And if the Patriot Act isn't being used, why is the National Security Division involved at all? This kind of looks like something that would come out of some communist country, expansive definition of national security.
The memo is only about violence and threats of violence.
Communist countries are like, whoa, 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 we'd be way more subtle than this. Okay, we at least can nuance this stuff. Carla, you're next with Grace and the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Carla.
Hi, Grace. How are you? I just want to comment on the school committee situation. And I'd like to tell people this is a lot more serious than most people are spending time on. People are unaware of how bad the situation is. I have been working with a group of people in Dedham, and I think that on this election that's coming up, every town should give up focus on any issue except the school committee. And the goal should be to get rid of every member on the school committee who agrees with what is going on now. That should be the absolute point.
Yeah, yeah. Clean house, you know, get some people in there who are actually representative of the parents and what they want to see happen here. Thank you for the call, Carla. We'll be back on the other side with an update on the Border Patrol situation and more from Senator Grassley grilling Merrick Garland.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio,
We have seen a lot of these Build Back Better fans, activists who want Joe Biden to pass this boondoggle of a bill to build back better and to build a civilian climate core and to create tree equity and to eliminate cow farts. And yesterday I read that maybe pumpkins are kind of to blame as well. But just an update here, activists of color staged a hunger strike at the White House. Why they demand Biden focus on climate change. A hunger strike. Interesting. That wouldn't be my method of choice, but to each their own. Mike, you're next with Grace on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Mike.
Hey, Grace. Listen, this situation with Fauci is out of control. What we need is the National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases. We need an audit of that division to find out what else he's funding. If he's been funding this kind of crazy stuff, what else is he funding we don't know about? And the only way to find that out is through an audit. Now, supposedly, this is bipartisan people that are upset. So there's no reason why Congress can't call for an audit of that division of the National Institute of Health.
I agree. And another part of this I will say is that I know what his excuse is going to be if he even ever admits to it, which is like he didn't know, you know, the old, oh, I didn't know this was happening. Oh, you know, Sergeant Schultz, I know nothing. But if you are the top guy, if you're good enough to be on all the morning shows ad nauseum, day in and day out, if you're the highest paid person, the highest paid federal hack going, if you've got the Disney Plus documentaries and their socks made of you and Brad Pitt plays you on SNL and Time Magazine, you know, declares you Guardian of the Year and you're on magazine after magazine after magazine, photo shoot after photo shoot, sexiest man alive, whatever it is, then when something goes wrong, you can get the blame for it. The buck's got to stop with you, right? Or does it only stop with you when you're getting paid big bucks to, I don't even know if he's getting paid to do these magazine shoots, you know, lounging by the pool. Probably not getting paid. He's probably doing it just for the thrill. But if you can do all of that stuff gladly, if you can take all the praise, then you can get the blame for this. And not only can you get the blame, you can be asked to at least leave. Lord knows there's not going to be any responsibility as far as like jail time. But can't you step aside? Don't you have the decency? Don't you have the shame to just step aside? It is really amazing. And I agree with you that it is bipartisan. Like I said, dogs are like Bill de Blasio. They bring people together, you know, for different reasons. Bill de Blasio brings people together because they can't stand him. Dogs, people love him. But still, it's the same effect. It's magic. All right. Now, I did want to finish off here with some of these cuts. Merrick Garland still testifying for the DOJ as they're dealing with a variety of different issues. But we played a little bit of Senator Chuck Grassley. I would like to play cut 34. He's asking him about this memo. Now, just a recap. I'm sorry if I keep going through this, but the National School Board Association that put out this letter requesting that the FBI be sicked on parents who are too intimidating and threatening and should be labeled as domestic terrorists and should have the Patriot Act used against them because they speak too loudly into the microphone and they don't wipe it down when they're done. Well, Grassley is asking, since the National School Board Association, since they retracted their letter and they apologized for it, knowing that it was over the line, knowing that they should not have written that and it was inexcusable, is Merrick Garland going to do the same? I mean, one would think, right? Let's hear his answer, cut 34.
Since you and the White House based your memo on this delegitimized letter, I assume you're going to revoke your extremely divisive memo that you said was instigated because of that letter. That's a question.
Senator, the memo, which referred to as one page, it responds to concerns about violence, threats of violence, other criminal conduct. That's all it's about. And all it asks is for federal law enforcement to consult with, meet with local law enforcement to assess the circumstances, to strategize about what may or may not be necessary to provide federal assistance if it is necessary.
Presumably, you wrote the memo because of the letter. The letter is disavowed now. So you're going to keep your memo going anyway, right? Is that what you're telling me?
Senator, I have the letter from NSBA that you're referring to. It apologizes for language in the letter, but it continues its concern about this.
Just yes or no. One of these Republicans has to learn that phrase. It's a yes or no question. It's a yes or no question. Democrats have no problem pulling that on Republicans. That actually is a yes or no question. Use that. Ask him. We don't need to hear Merrick Garland wah, 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 talking for hours about nonsense. Just answer. Are you going to rescind it? Yes or no? The obvious answer is no, because you have no shame. Just like Dr. Fauci, just like Jen Psaki, just like Joe Biden, just like Mayor Pete, just like Mayor slash Secretary Walsh Mahdi. None of these people have any shame, and none of them know what they're doing in the slightest. Tom Cotton, once again, never disappoints. He came out with a really good question at the end, because you'd think, you know, Merrick Garland clearly has too much time on his hands if this is what he's going to use the DOJ for, to look into parents threatening school board members after the National School Board backed off of it. But he's still going to do that, you know, because what else does he have to do? Look into real crimes, look into potential school shooters, look into potential marathon bombers. No, there's Lego sets to be looked at and there's parents to be investigated. So Tom Cotton asks, what about the people who followed Kristen Sinema into a bathroom at Arizona State University and recorded her? The protesters, I'm using air quotes, protesters, more like major creeps. That's what they are. He asked, are you guys going to investigate those people? Cut 35.
Have you started an investigation into the harassment of Senator Kyrsten Sinema in a bathroom? In a bathroom, because she won't go along with the Democratic Party's big tax and spend agenda? That is a sitting United States senator being harassed in a bathroom.
I don't know whether the senator has referred the matter to the Justice Department or not.
Oh, so maybe if Kyrsten Sinema gets together with the White House and writes a really nice letter, a really crazy, dramatic, over-the-top nonsensical letter, and then somehow, through a pigeon carrier, it just lands at Merrick Garland's desk, maybe then he'll look into the activist who filmed her in the bathroom. Am I following this correctly?
Yeah, so we're not going to investigate things until the victim complains? Is that what it is?
Ah.
And by the way, there are a bunch of people sitting in the Capitol jail right now who happen to be near or in a building with senators and congresspeople, and they were the worst criminals in the world. This is somebody actually following somebody, and so you would think that type of bathroom insurrection would be looked into by Garland Merrick.
Well, if Kyrsten Sinema had been a Democrat, we would still be hearing about it. There'd be like 60-minute specials about how she's reliving past trauma and how she's still not over it. But because she is a Democrat, but because she's a moderate Democrat, you know what we're getting instead from NBC News? This opinion piece. Is Kyrsten Sinema bad for bisexuals? Ah, the old women supporting women. The tolerant left strikes again. Can't you feel the unity, the acceptance? As Barack Obama would say, they're not intimidated by other ideas or different opinions. That's why they're writing crap like this.
Unity!
Is Kyrsten Sinema bad for bisexuals? Can you imagine if I wrote a piece about a bisexual Democrat with that title? Of course you can't, because I'd be canceled. I'd be off the air. You'd never see me again. I'd be like Dave Chappelle. Well, I'd be like Dave Chappelle, except for not that rich. But they can write this. Democrats can write this, and there's nothing wrong with it, according to them. Is Kyrsten Sinema bad for bisexuals? That feels kind of hateful, in my opinion. Okay, now quickly here, before we have to go to the break, let me give you an update on the border agents that were accused of whipping Haitian migrants. As everyone knows, the pictures came out of some Border Patrol agents on horses dealing with the terrible situation in Del Rio, Texas, brought to you courtesy of the President of the United States of America and his feckless immigration policies. So these Border Patrol agents are trying their best to do an impossible job with zero help from this administration, a job made worse by the situation this administration allowed to happen and actually enabled to happen. And they're on horses, and someone takes a photo of them. And this photo, it looks like they have whips in their hands. They don't. They have the reins of the horses that they're riding on. But that fake news gets to the White House. It gets all over mainstream media. You know, a lie goes around the world while Joe Biden's trying to put on his pants. I don't know how the expression goes. It's something like that. And the White House cannot contain their joy. They are so excited. They're like that person who calls you with bad news. Oh, did you hear? I know you have that big party on Saturday. It's going to rain. Did you hear about that? That stinks. Like, they can't even contain their excitement over this. They're like, oh, it's so bad what those border agents did. Kamala Harris came out of hiding to make an announcement about it. She's like, this is not who we are. This is unacceptable. And this is terrible. Mallorca was all over it. Biden, they thought like this was going to really help their poll numbers. Oh, we're not the bad ones. The Border Patrol agents are the bad ones. In fact, Joe Biden, he went back to his tough guy days. You know, he put on the leather bomber jacket. He walked around. He put on his aviators and he said, we're going to get these sons of guns. They got bad blood. And as my father used to say, as he was staring at the ceiling, son, the coal mines at the table, I'd put my hand on his shoulder and the onion on my belt would say, mister, let's party. Whatever Joe Biden would say about it. This is what he said about those Border Patrol agents. Cut one.
I promise you, those people will pay. They will be, an investigation underway now, and there will be consequences. There will be consequences.
Oh, thank God. He said there will be consequences twice, and they will pay twice. So now I feel so much better about it. And he said an investigation, and I was thankful because I thought, you know, men on horseback using reins is unacceptable in 2021, not in Joe Biden's America. Maybe that would pass people using reins in Trump's America, Jared, but we're unified now. We're decent again. And it made me feel even better when the DHS Secretary Mayorkas came out and said that this investigation wasn't just going to happen. It was going to happen quickly. Cut 20.
We'll drive the actions that we take. We ourselves will pull no punches. And we need to conduct this investigation thoroughly, but very quickly. It will be completed in days and not weeks. And I wanted to assure this committee and you, Mr. Chairman, and Mr. Ranking Member, of that fact.
Now, that was in September. He said days and not weeks. It has been, as you could probably guess, it's been weeks. And I just wanted to give everyone this update in case you're losing hope and you're thinking, they're not going to try to just push this under the rug and hope we forget about it, are they? Well, the border agents that were seen in those controversial photos on horseback, they have not yet been questioned. So this investigation that's clearly moving at a rapid speed hasn't yet gotten to the Border Patrol agents involved. That's good to know. Once again, the Joe Biden administration, ooh, if you don't laugh, you might cry. And you know what? It's Wednesday. I'm not in the mood for crying. So we're just going to laugh about it today. When we get back, we'll be talking to Howard Lawrence Carr. The Thunderstorm Air Purifier is one of the Eden Pure's best-selling products. And now Eden Pure is extending their special Thunderstorm 3-pack offer through the end of October. That's right. Up until Halloween. I'm still going to call it Halloween. I don't know if that's politically correct, but I'm going to do it. Up until Halloween, you can get the Thunderstorm 3-pack. That means you'll get 3 units for under $200 and you'll save $200. This is a really great device. You can use it in your kitchen to clear out smells. You can use it in your living room to keep the air moving. I know a lot of people are closing their windows right now to keep in the warm air. And you can also use it, as Jared does, in your car.
Yeah, it's great. It comes with a little USB cable that plugs right into the unit. You just plug it into the USB port in your car, you turn it on, and you get that ionized air, which creates that super oxygen in your car, which gets rid of any car smells, any, you know, stale fast food smells you might have, or even if you have pollen in the car, allergens, pollutants, anything like that, you are driving and you are breathing easy.
Yes, it's a very small device. I'm holding it in my hand right now for the Rumble cameras. All you have to do is go to EdenPureDeals.com, click my name, and put in code word GRACE3 to save $200 for their special 3-pack. That's EdenPureDeals.com. Click my name and use code word GRACE3. This offer ends October 31st. We will be back with the captain. Don't go anywhere.
Follow Grace on Twitter at G_Curley. Grace Curley is pure Americana.
I'm so off the cuff. I'm so unpredictable. And I have a leather bomber jacket. I'll take your question anyway, kid. An American
girl. This is the Grace Curley Show.
I'll leave it at this, General Garland. You have weaponized the FBI and the Department of Justice. Your U.S. attorneys are now collecting and cataloging all the ways that they might prosecute parents like Mr. Smith because they want to be involved in their children's education, and they want to have a say in their elected officials. It's wrong. It is unprecedented, to my knowledge, in the history of this country, and I call on you to resign.
A fabulous job by Senator Tom Cotton, and I think he spoke for at least half of the country when he said to Merrick Garland, thank God you're not on the Supreme Court. And for that, we can all thank Mitch McConnell. I mean, I know he's not our favorites, but boy, did we dodge a bullet with that one. Today's car crossover is brought to you by Fairway Financial. Preparation and planning is the key to your retirement future. Visit fairwayfinancial.net. Howie Carr, thanks so much for joining the show.
Did you see that Mitch McConnell has endorsed Herschel Walker for Georgia senator? So it puts Mitch McConnell and Donald Trump on the same side. That's a rare occurrence these days. That bodes well, though, for Herschel Walker, the former All-American and All-Pro football player.
Yes, I love him. He's one of my favorites as far as these Republicans, these new Republicans go, because there's been a lot of new people in these races, and he's fabulous. Howie, I don't know if you saw this. Senator Ted Cruz was pressing Merrick Garland, and it was pretty good. I don't think I'll have time to play it in my show, but I hope you can get to it, because he actually brings up the conflict of interest that Merrick Garland has involving his son-in-law in critical race theory.
I'm sure he knows nothing, though, just like he really is the Sergeant Schultz of this administration.
He really makes
Anthony Blinken.
His face is like so weak. Like you know what I mean? He's not prepared at all for this.
No, he's not. And you know, and they're just and it's really nice too, because sometimes these people fight back and. But they're just using him as like, it's like, you know, when the prize fighters, they go into training and they just have these sort of slugs that they bring along to just beat the crap out of them every day while they're getting ready. I mean, that's what he is. I mean, he's not even putting up a fight.
No, he's not. You're absolutely right. You know who is putting up a fight, though, Howie? And I think you'll enjoy this. Dr. Scott Atlas is slamming Deborah Birx after she tried to blame how the pandemic played out during the Trump administration on him, basically. And this is what Atlas told the Federalist. He said, it's not a surprise that Dr. Birx, as the official task force coordinator of the White House coronavirus task force from late February through January 19, 2021, might want to blame others for the failure of her policies. And at the very end, he says, history's biggest failure of public health policy lies directly at the hands of those who recommended the lockdowns and those who implemented them, not on those who advised otherwise, period. She has some serious gall to try
to
blame him.
That's really nice. Everybody's always been saying, well, you know, history may say that this was the biggest failure in public health. I'm glad Scott Atlas is just, you know, putting it right out there on the table. This is the biggest disaster ever. Total fiasco, total mismanagement, everything from A to Z wrong from day one.
Absolutely. And the fact that Deborah Birx is trying to lecture us that if we had only followed her rules, which she couldn't follow, by the way, her winterizing of her home was too important. All right, guys, I'm done for the day, but Howie Carr is coming up next. Don't miss it.